Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. Brad, how you doing today?
Hey, doing great, Scott.
Yep, this is the funnest place on the planet to find out all the cool things about your Macintosh. And Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MC Technologies, FirmTech, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo Magazine, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Mac Minute.
Oh, Mac Minute.
Yes, Mac
Minute. Oh, Mac Minute's on there. All right.
Mac Minute. We have Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac Show, and the Digital Production Buzz.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Creative Pro.
Yeah.
For all the guys that are into creative stuff, you can find all the cool stuff. So you can check out all the stuff over at InsideMacRadio.com. So did you survive the holidays? You're here.
Yeah, I'm still here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
good. You have to kill anybody at home.
It's one of those things, you know, more like domestic violence happens during the holidays. Kind of a sad thing. But, you know, when you think about it, it's like your entire life is just turned upside down during the holidays. It's really, really tough, you know, and all the stress and everything. That's why I think it should be like we should merge the two holidays of Christmas and Hanukkah together and just combine them. So you spread it out over 8 days so people don't freak out, you know, as much.
I didn't miss the one day. Well, no.
Yeah. I think it's a better way to go. Yeah. We need to re-engineer holidays.
You know, make it generic. It's not engineered now anymore. It's all engineered for commercial purposes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What would the economy do, you know, if we didn't have these festive times of the year for people to spend
absolutely.
Money?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, you know. I mean, the thing about it is the retail universe and, you know, our entire retail world, people that are in retail, is basically happens in like 1 month, you know, or in a couple of weeks. Of a month span, where everything in retail, either you make or break, you book half of your the year's profits in that little month, and then that's it. You could just go away.
That's crazy if you think about that.
It is crazy. It's wild.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's so hooked on these personal possessions and give me.
We should just appreciate the things like we have a stable operating system,
nice platform, what else do you need?
And a computer that always works.
You know?
It's always just open up and boop, it's all ready to go.
People take the Mac for granted.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. Oh, I think you just have to spend one day on a PC and you'll never take the Mac for granted. Just ask some special high-end photographer guy that sold his soul to the devil. We will not mention. Who is now stuck using a PC.
Nobody in particular.
He's just stuck now because he made a deal with the devil, and he's now using
a PC. Like Tenacious D.
Exactly. Like, you know, and that was the biggest... Okay, talk about biggest, saddest things that ever happened this year. Well, there was plenty of things, but just I think one of the saddest things was that movie did not get the promotion that it was due, and they worked 5 years on that film. And it was a much better film than it actually did in the box office. And so maybe it'll be like a lot of New Line releases, and they'll make it really big on DVD. So let's hope for all those guys that worked on that film, especially like Rob Schraub and Liam Lynch, that they do really well on the DVD, because those are great guys. I mean, they're really good people. They're nice people. They work hard, and they produce good stuff.
Yeah.
So
we have some cool lines today, though.
Yeah.
We have Philip Hodges coming up next, talking about our weekly post news. Mm-hmm. Next, we're going to go for sort of like the year in review this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then our next show, we're going to have sort of with Phil, we're going to have the year going forward, what we're looking at.
What are we looking at?
We have
at?
Sort of like a forward-looking and post, you know.
Yeah, because you know, I think next year is going to be pretty crazy when it comes to post-production.
Red, baby, red. So, yeah, that Andy Schaut's going to be with us doing his design tip. We're going to have Jeff Bodine, the CEO of Micromat, coming
he's
in. He's going to announce.
Physical
he's
live.
Announcing a brand new product on the show today.
Oh!
Brand new product's going to be available here in about a week at Macworld, and you know, pretty crazy stuff actually. So Jeff will be with us. Also, in the second hour, we're going to have AJ, the CEO of Market Circle, talking about a brand new product called Billing 2. This is our sort of our you know, Mac productivity.
Yeah, because we're usually just talking about, you know, digital cameras and gadgets and stuff.
But we're going to talk about Mac at work.
We're going to talk about business segment. And stuff. Yeah,
we're going to talk about that, and then later on, we're going to have the guy from Frontline.
Yes. This is how I exploit my customers. I get them to come on my show.
We're going to have the man, the video editor, the guy from Frontline and stuff like
Frontline
that.
Frontline PBS, yes.
Yeah, Steve.
Steve Audet.
Yeah. You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium. This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to Inside Mac Radio. This part of Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. They also have a very cool product called Disk Studio that lets you do partitioning on the fly on the Mac.
Oh,
Protégé,
nice.
It's a FireWire-based device that lets you boot your Mac up. And on today's show later, they're going to announce a brand new product here before Macworld. You're going to hear it here first.
Another thing you have to run out and buy.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool thing. Very utilitarian.
Yeah.
But that's what they're into, utilities. So it's pretty cool. Check them out at Micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. Hello, Philip. How are you?
Hi, Scott. You sound like you had a really big Christmas.
How you doing,
it was lovely,
Phil?
You know.
It's
just so much fun. I get to sleep. And Brad made it out alive.
I made it out alive, yes.
Brad made it out alive.
Yes. It's just crazy. How did you do over the holidays?
Oh, very quiet at home. My mum's over from Australia, so we had just a quiet Christmas at home.
Oh, nice.
That's very relaxing.
That's better than having to fly over to Australia for Christmas. That would be brutal.
Oh, and it's so expensive. Just, you know, supply and demand, they know how to deal with that in the airline industry.
What's it, a couple grand now to fly over there?
If we want to go this week, you'll probably pay three times what you would at any other time of the year.
Wow.
That's coach.
that's baggage.
we've had a busy year in the production and post-production industry. Of course, the Intel Mac move on the Apple side triggered a whole range of things in the software industry.
I can hardly believe that it only shipped at Macworld last year. I mean, it still blows me away that was the first Intel product in the entire universe has changed from that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a really short period of time.
Yeah, and I thought Apple were going to have a real difficult job with Final Cut Pro because, of course, its heritage isn't nice, clean, cocoa code. It's back into, even cross-platform Windows code down in the guts. But they got their universal binary out just before NAB and then have, shipped a massive update in 5.1.2 and support for FX Plug, which is a whole new architecture. But it wasn't the only new architecture we've got. We saw the rise of SATA and eSATA storage over the older SCSI and ATA storage.
Yeah, that's one thing that I built my first SATA array about a year and a half ago, and it was really hard. It was difficult. It was painful. The cards didn't work well. And now this year, I think it's like a whole lot smoother.
Yep.
And it's not there yet. I mean, I still think SCSI, ease of setting up SCSI is a lot. It's much easier to set up SCSI.
Ooh,
and it's much easier to do
what?
Fiber channel. But.
I've had a lot to do with SCSI, and I'd rather not in future.
I know. It's tricky. It's tricky. But what I find is that with SATA, the tricky part is getting good cabling connections and interference. Because
I don't like those little fiddly little connections. I have to admit. The SCSI connectors are a bit more solid.
Yeah,
they'll take a bit of wear and tear.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing about the eSATA is that they aren't actually able to physically lock the cable down to the drive enclosure.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's missing. I mean, with the SATA hubs, the ones that can go bring one SATA interface and split it out to five, that's a big improvement because you're less cabling nightmare.
Yeah, but you lose bandwidth too. I mean, you're bringing five drives through one lane again, so you're restricting your bandwidth.
That's true, but drives don't have, usually the drive is the bottleneck.
Well, true, yeah. So, but there's a balancing there. Wasn't the only changes we've seen, just we were getting used to PCIe-X. We had to move over to PCIe-Express, and we've seen all of the card manufacturers come over to that. And, of course, our laptop users are going from card bus to Express Card 34 and 52. I haven't seen the Express Card, the bigger one, but I've certainly got to deal with Express Card 34s in my little Ceratec adapter there onto my FirmTech RAID sitting in front of me here.
Yeah, they're nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're nice.
And then we're getting used to all of that, and then Blackmagic starts supporting HDMI, as we talked about last week, and in their Intensity card.
It was the year of the four-letter acronyms, I think.
Yeah,
I got one for you.
Yeah, ABCHD. There's another four-letter acronym.
Zune. Zune. Yeah.
Zune. I'd hate to think what that's an acronym for, Scott. You might have to tell me offline.
I'll tell you later. Or you can ask somebody that speaks Hebrew.
Hebrew, yeah. I think we know exactly where that's going.
I think that's not family friendly.
No.
And, of course, you know, we just before the end of the year, December 29 last year, Panasonic released their HVX200, their little P2-based device, and then they dropped the price of the 8-gigabyte cards down in February. But you know what? There's been no bigger cards, and there's been no further price drops. So at NAB, Panasonic announced that they were going to do a whole new codec for that, AVC Intra, based on the H.264 codec, which still hasn't really shipped and won't really be part of their line until sort of middle of this year, first quarter, second quarter of the year. But it was a big year for cameras. They sold about 12,000 of the HVX200s, but the real action was in the format everybody loves to hate and hates to love, HDV.
Yeah. How many HDV cameras were sold this year? Do you have any stats on that?
I don't know exactly on the year, but Sony was saying at the BandPro press event 2 weeks back that it's their fastest growing format ever, and let's face it, Sony know about fast growing formats.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree that HDV is way more maligned than you're actually going to see it. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's growing really well.
Yeah, they've sold over 100,000 units, and I guess probably Canon and JVC have matched at least three quarters of that again. So
effectively, HDV has outsold 10-1 or 20-1, maybe.
Somewhere between 10 and 20 to 1, yeah.
Well, that's you know, good job, Panasonic. All right, rocking.
Yeah. Well, workflow's just that much easier. We've seen, you know, some really nice new cameras from Sony at the end of the year, and that's a third, you know, effectively a third generation camera. JVC are onto their third generation of camera with the HD 250. And the third generation of cameras as well, we've really started to see some action in the MPEG 2 encoders, and they've really come up in quality in that time.
Yeah.
The big camera action and the big camera news is, we'll talk more about it in next week's show when we're going to look forward to what we might expect in 2007, but Red One was announced at NAB this year, and that's been where the total action has been. You know, you put it up against Sony recently announced their F23 Cine Alta camera, somewhere, you know, maybe 170,000, 200,000 with a complete package. Just depends what you want.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, I mean, it's like walking into the Louis Vuitton shop and picking out a nice purse that costs 10 cents in China to make.
But the red one is actually more capable and a tenth the price.
Yeah, the Red Duo, I think, is going to really be cool. They get this thing out.
If they get it out. Well, and they will. I'm pretty comfortable they will.
What I can say about it is that it doesn't really, it's not so much that it's important that this, that it's not so much about the Red camera in its of itself. It's the fact that the technology is at that point in time now is where it really is a threat to basically these larger camera manufacturers, because it doesn't, you know, you can see where the technology has grown to the point. And so it's really becoming an open game right now that other companies can go and encroach. So whether irregardless of whether it's about Red, it's really about the technology where it is.
And I think it's really in the end.
We've run out of time to talk about this. Check back in the archives for the December 28th Digital Production Buzz show at digitalproductionbuzz.com for a whole lot more on what happened this year.
Cool. Philip, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you after the first of the year, buddy. Have a great new year. You are listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV, the coolest software if you want to take content that you've generated and made and put it onto a DVD, and you need to pull it back off, de-encode the MPEG 2, and bring it back into QuickTime in any format that QuickTime will make, you can do it in.
Put it in a keynote presentation.
You can de-encode it from MPEG 2 and turn it into Windows Media.
Yeah.
Using the Telespring plugin.
Yeah, flip for Mac.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool stuff. They got a brand new website, too. Check it out over at dvdxdv.com. So, Andy's gone AWOL.
Oh, wait. No, he's here.
Oh, he's here.
We didn't mean to badmouth him and his Vonage.
I'm badmouthing Vonage again, and he's right on the phone. Andy!
Stop it. I've been sitting here listening to the dulcet tones of your voice talking about DVD XTV.
I hope you've got a bucket, right next to you.
So it's the end of the year, huh?
Yeah, so tell us, how was your holidays?
The holidays are almost over. What can I say?
Yeah, no doubt, brother.
So the temptation here is, I guess, to sum up the year, right? 2006.
Sure.
That would be the temptation.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Well, in terms of just Andy's graphics tips, I guess we can pretty much break it down to three basic things that I've tried to give everybody again and again and again. The first thing is to keep it simple, right? We try to simplify everything. Simplification, of course, being the hardest thing to achieve. But that's one thing. Two is to take yourself out of the make yourself aware of the context of your work, as in who's your target audience, what's the target medium, who's going to be looking at your work. And the third thing is to take yourself out of it, because even though designers are always uptight about, they're secret artists. Everybody wants to be an artist and wants to be known and wants to have their little name in the corner of the canvas there. But in actuality, with design, it's business. Yeah, sometimes it's good, but it really is business. You're getting hired to do something specific for someone to achieve a specific goal. And so if you take yourself out of it, but you're good enough and you're true enough to whatever the message is, your style is going to come through anyway.
So it's kind of like, don't worry about what you're doing. Just matter how much you're doing it for, and you're getting paid for it, right?
Exactly. You're getting paid for it. Yeah, sometimes you just have to remind yourself.
So even if it's going on a little logo on a pooper scooper for a doggy, you're still, and it's on the front where you're just be like, I'm getting paid for it, man.
Exactly. You're getting paid for it, and sometimes those logos are great. They certainly are fun to work on. It's the research you got to worry about.
I just have a little Zune player on it, for the pooper scooper. That'd be cool.
I'm telling you, if the Zune floats, we're okay. But anyway, that was it. And the fourth thing, of course, is always question authority, but that's just throughout life. I think that's the fourth rule of thumb, right?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Question authority.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In fact, I used to have a button I used to wear that said question authority, and someone gave me the perfect response to that. The guy tapped me on the shoulder. He goes, why? Touché. Touché.
That's funny. I like that one.
There you go. There you go.
The button that says, I'm not taking any questions right now.
I wish I had that button. I think I'll make one up. But, yes. So, in January, we're going to be in Macworld Expo, right?
Yep.
Everybody. I might even make it live in studio with you guys, so we won't have to worry about Vonage.
Yeah, excellent. The fidelity will be unbelievable.
We'll be like, yes.
I think I'll sit in the other room anyway and call in.
There you go.
Just put your mouth behind your hand.
I hope it's not that bad.
No.
I hope not. But there is one thing I do want to talk about, one extra little thing, and that is Photoshop CS3 is in beta, and we've been playing with it for a few weeks now. And it's a free download. And I think everybody should get their hands on it and start playing with it, because that's the next thing for the next year. And it's a nice way to look forward. And look at their logo, because they simplified it.
They do. Andy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy New Year,
boys.
We'll
talk to you in a week, talking about the year going forward. You're listening to Inside Mac Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Bob. job, Dr. Mac Levitis. If you need troubleshooting, training, advice, or technical support for your Mac, we can help. We can resolve most Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively, and we guarantee it. Plus, our cool internet-enabled remote control software lets us work with you no matter where in the world you happen to be. For more info or to schedule an appointment, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on.
Welcome back.
Yes, you are listening to the Inside Mac radio program's Year in Review. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright, and this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by MZ Technologies. If you want to find a place to get a new MacBook, MacBook Pro, a Mac Pro, upgrades for your old G3, G4, your G5 that's old now, I can't even believe that, but...
I know. After this year, everything G5 is old now.
I don't know. But my G5 still works pretty good.
Oh, no. I mean, it'll work for the next forever, really. I mean, you know, it's going to be a good computer forever. As long as you can, you know, as long as that thing can still boot up, it's still going to do work for you. It's a great thing about a Mac. Yeah. So it's like spewing hydraulic fluid or something. Yeah. You know?
What's that on my desk? Daddy freeze. Come here, kitty. That's one thing you don't want to mix is kitties and G5s at leak.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Good. You know, it's div. Either way, you can check it out over at mcetech.com. So,
yeah,
you had an interesting adventure shopping for wife presents.
Yeah, well, this is part of the show where you don't hear any useful information whatsoever. Right. But we'll just talk about this, and I think it's somewhat relates. Useful. It's somewhat relates, and it's kind of funny because I mean, my wife has always been obsessed with high end purses. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because literally they can make them for 10 cents in China, you mm-hmm. know. And so I recently went over to the Louis Vuitton store to pick up a purse for my wife for Christmas. I recently picked this up for her, and. What I found about the experience is really interesting. I mean, it's like you walk in, there's these guys with security. There's these high-end purses up there.
M16s, and, you know, and
yeah, guys, M16s pointed at you. And you're like, look at it. And the stuff on the shelf is like 10 cents. So someone grabs one and runs out the door. They just like took 10 cents out the door. It wasn't like they took, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 that it cost. It literally cost 10 cents to make it. But it's all about the perception, you know, and I think it's all about the image, the fact that there's guys with like, don't touch that purse. That's an expensive purse. Yeah, no, that thing costs 10 cents in China, you know, to make. And so I got this thing.
Now, which model did you get? Do you get the one that's just the regular brown canvas with the printing on, or did you get
pretty
the
much,
white?
Yeah, one of these ones with the printing. Nothing really too fancy, but it was like a $900 purse. So I'm walking out
that's
the door.
Crazy, dude. Come on.
With, so I buy
I could
stuff.
Buy like 9 Brent Haven
well,
backpacks.
No, but you know, this is what's, I know, and they would work like 10 times better. They'd yeah. be functional, but it's all about that great perception. But of course, you know, so I'm laughing at this whole experience as I walk out the door with this 10 cent purse, which cost me $900. And, you know, I pull it, I'm getting it out of the bag, and I throw the bag away and wrap it up in some plain, ordinary looking wrapping paper. So the surprise factor will be there. And I'm thinking to myself, it's like, you know, even though this is a $900 purse, when you go out and buy a $900 piece of software, well, that was like 10 cents too, as well. You know, or you buy a computer. Well, the computer parts aren't really, I mean, the computer parts do actually cost more than 10 cents. So, I mean, you got it there. But a lot of things don't just have perceived value. And so they're effective that way. And I think that's a little, you know, a little thing to wake up on when we're making these big purchases is realize, like, you know, there's a lot of perceived value and not necessarily actual value.
Well, I mean, look at software, you know.
Yeah.
You code software.
Oh, yeah.
But people love to rip it off.
Yeah, they
because
do.
Because it's free.
Yeah.
It's just it's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no physical thing there.
Yes.
Why does it cost me so much money?
Because somebody was out there slaving away and making that Louis Vuitton bag, trying to figure out whether the L should be on the top or the bottom or the side. The pattern should be left, right. Or let's
that
see.
Takes a lot
should
of
it
brain
be
power.
Brown again? Yes. Yes, brown. I think brown is good with cream-colored lettering. Yeah, good, good. You know, things like that. I mean, hard sweating these details like, oh, you know, should it have a strap? It's a purse. Should it have a strap? Yes, it should have a strap. Okay, good. Okay, brown bag with Louis Vuitton lettering and a strap, $900. We're good.
You're paying for the name. It's all the name.
You're paying
because
for
really, you could have went down to, there's some places in the city where you could have bought one that looks identical. You set them next to each other.
And they're 30 cents, yeah.
Well, no, they're probably bucks. 20 bucks.
20 bucks, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you won't see any difference.
Well, you might. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's probably a pretty piece of decent quality, but still.
That's right. Cubic zirconium works just as good.
You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's
happening. Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Chipper and Brad Wright. Brad, we have a very cool guest right now.
Yes, we do. We have Evan Spiridellis, the founder of JibJab. How you doing, Evan?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Hey, Evan, tell us, you guys, you were on a few weeks ago with us when you had just released this brand new video with Weird Al, but you guys have even notched it up one more and got even a brand new piece out.
Yeah, it has been a nonstop couple of months here at JibJab. We went right from the Great Sketch Experiment in September to Weird Al in November into Nuck and Futz for December.
You got to be very careful when you say that.
Yes, we don't want to alert the FCC.
That's right. They got their finger on the button right there.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about this video. I mean, how did you develop this story? I mean, how did this come? I mean, when you started looking back at the year, how did this all come together?
Well, we knew we wanted to do a year in review piece. Last year, we did a piece called 205 that was basically a year in review sung from the point of view of the president. And we didn't want to do that again, but we knew we wanted to do a sort of a wrap-up of the year. And as we were sort of searching around for a point of view, we said, what better place to do it from than the point of view of kids? So Nuck and Futz is basically a bunch of elementary school students putting on a play for their parents about everything that happened this year.
Yeah. Now, what I mean, when you look back at it on this whole thing, how did you do the production all the way through? I mean, how did you get these kids?
It's pretty funny. It's an interesting start. Typically, it used to just be my brother Greg and myself, creating these things. And JibJab was basically the two of us. Over the past year, we've grown to about 20 people. So as Greg was starting to write, he sent out an email to everyone in the studio and said, hey, what are some stories that you guys remember from this past year? And we got this great list back of all, like, the big and small events that sort of shaped 2006, and that became the sort of foundation for the piece. Once the piece was written, Greg went off and wrote, and then my wife recorded the music track, so my wife wrote the music. And then,
Kidding. Your wife did the music track?
Oh, yeah. My wife did the music for This Land and Good to Be in D.C. and Second Term and all the really fun, upbeat stuff is my lovely wife.
Wow.
Lovely and talented.
Wow. And Greg wrote the lyrics?
And Greg wrote the lyrics, and then I do the art side.
Yeah. Well, keep going. Tell us more about that.
So once we had the lyrics locked down, or we thought we had them locked down, a funny thing happened. Within 1 week, right as we were about to go into the recording booth, the Democrats took over both the House and the Senate. Donald Rumsfeld got fired, and Britney Spears got divorced. So it was kind of like all of these milestone cultural events. And so we had to rewrite the piece a little bit. And then Greg went in New York with a great music producer, got a bunch of kids into the recording studio, professional child singers, and he said they were just pros. They came in and really nailed it. And then we used Central Casting here in Los Angeles to book the kids whose faces you see, and they came in with their parents and the social worker and all that fun stuff.
Now, when you were recording this, did the kids have any idea the lines they were saying?
Not most of the lines. No, I don't think so. There's one funny story where one of the kids said to the other kid, "Who is Kim Jong Il?" And the response was, "Oh, that's the guy from the Team America movie." So,
and these are like 8-year-old kids. That's an R-rated film.
yeah, exactly. I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking it's funny having kids sing political satire. It's funny.
he's that funny guy, the little puppet, Team America.
He's so romery. Yeah.
Hey, Evan, what's your workflow on the creative when you guys create all this stuff? What kind of software do you use?
Pretty much, primarily, it's Flash and Photoshop. So in this one, and as in the past few pieces, we've begun to incorporate a bit of After Effects, because that lets you do a couple of really spiffy things that you can't do in Flash, like when the stage spins around, that's got that sort of 3D effect, that's After Effects. Some of the great explosions in the piece, that's After Effects, but primarily it's it is Flash and Photoshop.
And of course, these are all done on Macs, right?
Yes. Well, I'm a Mac guy.
You're a Mac guy,
and 90% of us are Mac guys. But believe it or not, there's one or two creative guys here that have that are PC guys.
Heathen box guys. But
yes.
they don't do any of the important work, of course.
No.
What's the whole
to their desk.
Evan, what's the time span it takes to create a piece like this?
You mean in like real time or kind of how we do it? Something like this should have taken about 8 weeks, and this one was done in under 4, and that's from a group of people working around the clock, multiple all-nighters, really just beating ourselves senseless to get this thing done, because, one, it is timely, and two, you know, it's we just want to make it as good as it can be, so we all kind of, everybody here really pours everything they have into it.
Yeah, I know. I've gotten some emails from you at about 11 o'clock at night just saying,
11? My night's just beginning.
Yeah, I know. I see, but you're just like, you're just having breakfast. You're sitting down
exactly.
And having breakfast at 11.
What, on a new piece like this, what do you expect download-wise? How many people do you think will view this?
Oh, it'll be in the millions. I mean, I actually don't know the stats. I kind of tune out to that stuff and let my brother and Dave over here manage that. But as long as I know our servers are up, I'm happy, which has actually been a feat. Since we've grown this studio, we have a fantastic tech team. We've never been able to keep our site up during a launch. We've constantly had crashes, and this is far outshined some of our other launches, and the site's been humming, so...
Yeah, I know, but probably the internet takes a hit whenever you guys release a video. Like, it just goes down.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but thank you for the compliment.
Do you guys ever make available your content as in like a podcast, or you can actually view it on an iPod?
We do. I think we, I don't know. I know we used to sell iPod downloads, and I know we used to sell digital downloads, but I'm not quite sure where that stands. We sort of strip back our store a bit on the site to really concentrate on making the content and making sure that people can see the content. But I think early next year we'll probably make a push to getting more of this stuff available.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Inside Mac Radio here with Evan from Jib Jab. We're talking about their brand new video.
Yeah, called Nucking Futs. I mean, you don't want to mess that one up when you're saying it. Yeah, no, that's really quite great. I mean, what kind of things do you have planned for this next year that are coming down the line?
Well, right now we're all actually kind of decompressing a little bit for the holidays, but I know that we'll have, January is a little bit light. I think we have something coming at the end of January, but February we should really be gearing back up again. I think probably in January, one of the things we're going to do is relaunch Jokebox, which is something that we're really excited about. And if your audience hasn't been by the site, I would say come by to check it out. It's basically a joke sharing hub. So anything funny that circulates on the internet is people upload and store in their own personal joke boxes. So it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of like a repository for anything funny. And then
you
can have like people that you know, that I mean, these are like videos from YouTube or things that get uploaded.
Yeah, you know, things that people make or things that, you know, you receive in your inbox that just get sent to you. It's sort of like almost the equivalent of YouTube, but focused strictly on comedy. So whereas YouTube, you can see pictures of cats falling asleep and guys doing the gardening, this is all about, like, funny. And the best thing is that it's all based around, like, a communal idea where if you like somebody's sense of humor, you can join their joke club. So you can, like, if you think somebody's consistently funny, you can get an alert every time they upload a new joke. So it's fantastic. I mean, we have tens of thousands of jokes in the system. All video, pictures, text, audio, you name it.
Wow.
And I'll say one other thing. This is the shameless plug.
Yeah.
It's free to set up an account.
That is
free. So come to jibjab.com.
That is very cool. Now, Evan, how do we get more information on the great cartoons you guys are doing, all the all the work that's going on with Jokebox and the site and everything you guys are up to?
Well, again, if people sign up for our newsletter, it's free. They can just go to jibjab.com and become a member, and we send out alerts. And another thing that we're going to start to do next year is offer up more sort of behind-the-scenes materials that sort of showcase how we create these things and what we're up to, so that people that like what we do can dig a little deeper if they're interested.
Very cool stuff. So I guess you would just go over to jibjab.com. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evan, thanks so much for joining us today, taking time out of your busy schedule and your holiday deal on this brand new launch to take time to chat with us.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys, and have a great holiday.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Right. Cool stuff, man. These guys crank.
Absolutely great.
Yep, you're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by the official storage provider of the Inside Mac program, FirmTech, the coolest true SATA backplane, really high-performance, high-end storage, great for video, photography, music.
Oh, just basically anything you want to do, because it just runs a whole lot faster when your disk is not the I.O. bottleneck of your system.
Yep. It's like, they make cool interface cards for MacBook Pro for the Express 34 slot.
Yeah, now that empty slot you can actually do something with.
Yeah, you do. You got a pretty cool hookup with yours.
Yep.
And, the regular PCMCIA card? Works good with my old PowerBook. I got one on my G5.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You can hot swap this stuff, too. It's got a true backplane, so there's no interconnect cables. You can just pop a drive out, drag the drive to the trash or eject it.
Yeah.
Open the deal, pop the slot out, throw another 500 gig drive in.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Let's keep going.
Pretty fun stuff. So you can check them out over at firmtech.com. They will be at Macworld with a cool booth, so you can go check those guys out, chat with them.
Yeah.
Look at their cool products.
Maybe some new products.
They write their own drivers, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The only company in the whole Mac space
that actually writes their own
drivers.
It's like engineering from start to finish. I mean, soup to nuts kind of thing. You're starting from, you basically complete the entire cycle. You're not farming it out to some third world country,
They do it the old-fashioned way.
They earn it.
Yes. So, yeah, there's some cool stuff coming up here at Macworld. There's going to be, I'm looking forward to for Tuesday's Steve Note.
Yeah.
We're going to be there shooting it for Inside Mac TV.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe we'll get some exclusive footage like we did this Apple press event where we saw, Steve.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was cool. That was like the highlight of my entire Apple life. I mean, I was just like, I'll never see that again. I mean, I'm never see it again. They may never, it's just like, it was like one of those things. You're like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. I'm just like, I'm just stunned. And then they're like, hey, call me. Let's go do lunch. Cool. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
cool. I didn't put all that audio about them going to go do lunch because, Apple PR would be jumping all over my back. But
well, that was a private moment.
It was a private moment, yeah. And I wasn't going to get in there. I mean, it was just weird because I see, it's just the shock value of it. Just like,
Well, then later on we grabbed Steve and Iger.
Yeah.
Bob and Steve.
We did. I was like literally, I'm sitting there, I'm holding this camera, and there's Bob Iger and Steve Jobs walk up to me. And I'm literally like, oh my God, I'm like 2 inches from their face. I'm gonna die here. I don't want to be this close.
You're
this
shooting high down. They're in your face. The thing's
like,
rolling.
This is
rolling.
Yeah. Like this is too close. I have to back up. I can't even get both of them in the shot. I just got a big picture of Iger's nose. That's it. And Steve's. It's just like, oh, this is uncomfortably close. I need personal space. That was and I couldn't back up because all the other news cameras were behind me.
Right.
Literally, like Steve Jobs, Bob Iger, walk up, stand right in front of me. Like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? here. I don't want to be here.
It was cool, though.
It was
very
cool.
We're looking forward to the keynote. I really am. The rest of Mac World, you know, it's good.
The rest of Mac World, you can just say, we're done with that. 2 minutes, you know, walk the show floor, you're done.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or not. You know, maybe there's some good stuff you'll see there this year. I mean, hopefully it won't be all iPods. You know, iPod cases. Here's another iPod case vendor.
You can go over to MacWorldExpo.com and check it out. Paul Kinn is now the head guru dude over there.
Yeah, we should have get him on there. He's one of our buddies. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get Paul next week's show before MacWorld.
Yeah.
Just to go for an overview of what's going on there, because it is the definitive Mac event coming up.
Yeah, he used to live down.
And Paul, you know, I really have to give him credit for stepping up the conference program. They have a lot of really cool feature presentations.
Yeah.
On our other program, Inside Digital Photo, that you are going to hear next week. We had Joel Meyerowitz on, that's doing a feature presentation. He's a world-famous digital photographer, and, you know, there's some cool stuff going on at Macworld. They got Kevin Smith.
Yeah, hopefully we get him on.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that one.
From Clerks.
Yeah, yeah.
World-famous director, really funny guy. Cool stuff. We saw him at the Panasonic P2 launch event.
Yeah.
Universal City in Hollywood. He was very... very funny.
Yes.
Cool stuff. So you can check out everything going on over at Macworld Expo, of course, at MacworldExpo.com. You are listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. Later on here, we're going to have the guys from AJ. We're going to have AJ on from Market Circle talking about Billing 2 and a product update. So we're going to have Steve on from Frontline.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we're having a year in review sort of look today. We got some business productivity stuff we're going to talk about. We got a product announcements from our friends at Micromat.
Yeah.
Jeff's going to be joining us here in a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazines. If you want to find out all the cool things going on in the world of imaging and photography, you can check them out over at popphoto.com. They've been in publication now for 70 years. Pretty amazing. Pretty cool stuff. Check it out, popphoto.com. So back to our year in review.
Yeah, see, this is like one of those little sitcom episodes where they don't have any good writing and they just go to flashbacks.
Yeah.
You know, like Happy Days, you know? It'd be like every year in Happy Days. It was like, you know, let's have the flashback episode, you know? And literally the whole staff, you know, writing staff was on vacation that week.
Right.
So that's this is the week.
It took them a few minutes to throw that together.
That's right, yes. This is where we offer absolutely nothing new or useful, but we just talk about what happened this year.
Yeah. It's useful.
It's useful,
you
know? Yeah.
Think if you weren't a Mac user for the whole year.
Yeah.
You're going to pick up some hot little tidbits here.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very true.
Very true. Hey, we're almost... So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what an interesting year this was. The year of the paper tiger, known as, well, maybe not paper tiger, the Zune.
Yeah, I don't... Man, we beat this one. This dog is dead.
This is a dead dog.
But, I mean... I just don't understand. I can't think that. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't really. I mean, I don't understand how people would actually buy one of these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How?
Well, maybe you get one for Christmas. What do you do with it? What do you do? You'd say, thanks. I'll use to scrape something off my shoe. And then something gets stuck. I mean, what do you do with these things? So that was an interesting year because of that. And of course, the really good things that came out were... you know, what do you think were the hottest products this year? I think the iPod Shuffle was one of the hottest products going on this year.
It's pretty hot. I mean, I love my Shuffle. I use it more than my 5th Gen video. I use it more than my Nano. I mean, it's just...
Literally, you know, the only smaller it could be is if it was just clipped in... It was basically implanted into your body. You know, it could be that... It's that transparent, right? I mean, that's effectively really where this thing is. I mean, it's just... It literally can be on your body and you never feel it.
No, you can't. It's crazy.
Yeah. So another
now I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at some new renderings of the Red camera.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the, that was really pretty much the the story. What we're talking about, of course, is this Red camera, which is basically it's a 12.5 megapixel camera. that shoots at 60 frames per second, effectively being making it a digital cinema camera by that regard. So it'll shoot at up to 60 frames per second. And that makes it either very fast sports photography or a cinematic camera.
Yeah.
And it's only about $27,000 in class.
Yeah, it's cheap, really. I mean, if you look at it in the whole realm of cinematography and all the other things going on, it's very economical.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, well, especially if you have to go pay $170 for a Sony, you know, that's the Louis Vuitton bag right there. It was 10 cents in China.
I still can't believe you paid that.
I still can't believe I paid for that. Yeah, it's like, you know, but literally it's like, you know, and that's what's really going to happen to a lot of these manufacturers. You know, what happens when suddenly someone comes out with a product that is substantially cheaper and undercuts you? You know, if you have all this overhead in your product, you're just, technology marches forward and suddenly, bam, you know, it shows up. And what are you going to sell people now?
Yeah.
It's like, that's why you always got to be responsive. And I think, you know, a lot of these camera manufacturers haven't been responsive to the market, you know, as much as they should be. You know, it's been this little technology has been creeping up. And in fact, it might be really interesting to see what happens over this next year to things like Microsoft. With their Windows Vista operating system, is it going to draw, what some people are saying is already, it may actually draw more people to the Macintosh because it's so similar.
Well, they copied it. I mean, blatantly, if you look at the review,
it's a photocopy.
David Pogue did in the New York Times. It's a photocopy of Mac OS X.
Yes.
And not even done correctly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's getting better, I guess. So if you have to run that, I guess it's better to run that than XP. I don't know. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to have AJ, the CEO of Market Circle, talking about billings and some cool office productivity goodies. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listened online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac. Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by American Photo. American Photo Magazine, the coolest place to get all the greatest information on high-end photography. It sort of outlines and reviews the best photographers that are going in the country today. And you can learn a lot of cool stuff about, you know, about photography. Maybe not so much about gear. I mean, they do talk about gear, like...
Well, technique also can really trump gear really fast.
Well, they talk a lot.
So it's good to focus a lot more on technique.
Yeah, and they talk to a lot of high-end professional photographers and stuff like that, where you can actually learn technique and you get to see what these guys are doing. A lot of images, you know, really nice looking magazine. You can check them out over at AmericanPhotoMag.com or just cruise on over to PopPhoto.com and all the stuff's over there.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fun stuff if you're into imaging.
Yeah,
we are.
We are into imaging. We like digital cameras.
I'm surprised
we like
you haven't got a new one yet.
Oh, you know.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Right now we're here with AJ. AJ is the CEO of Market Circle. They have a brand new program out called Billings 2. And AJ, how you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Good. So tell us about Billings 2.
Well, Billings 2 is a time tracking and billing application for individual Mac professionals, freelancers, graphic artists, etc. And the real differentiating factor of Billings is, first of all, that it's really simple to use, and secondly, that the output is high-quality PDF, properly laid out, not HTML or RTF or things that make ugly invoices. Because frankly, you know, being in the Mac industry, people expect us to have, good quality output.
You can't show up with some ugly-looking, nasty-looking text-based... Yeah, product. Something
exactly.
Logo is made on Microsoft Word 2.0 or something.
Exactly. And, you know, we had a couple years ago, we had this vision that, you know, we wanted to produce something that did invoices right. For example, if you had a two-page invoice, that the totals would show up at the bottom of the second page, not, you know, after the last item on the second page and have all this white space below. We wanted a system that, you know, if you put in a vector logo of yours for your business, it
doesn't
render it at the high res.
Right. It doesn't render it at like a bitmap.
Yeah. Exactly. And then also on top of that, your fonts. You know, you spend all this time, money, all the effort to create a corporate image, and then you send out an invoice that looks like crap.
Yeah, well, that's what mine looked like.
So Billings was made to solve, that problem. And, our other product, Daylight, is a multi-user product. Billings is a single-user product. We decided to go there first because, you know, we wanted to learn that market a little bit and perfect this technology. So we, in Billings 2, I think we have succeeded. In Billings 1, we were kind of halfway there, but you could only choose like two or three fonts and a couple image formats, and that frankly sucked. But now we got everything that OS X can do, any fonts OS X can do, any image format OS X can do, we can support it in this engine.
Now, what would you say is your target customer? I mean, what is your typical, like, mean, median-size business that you guys support?
For Billings, it's really the individual or the one or two or three person company. Well, what we're finding out, though, is that larger companies are actually buying the product because only one person sends out the invoices or estimates sometimes. And so during the beta period, which will end very soon, we were kind of surprised by the number of larger companies wanting to do this. So we added a new file format that we call it a .bex Billings Exchange that allows you to send stuff from other applications. So we have, Billings to Billings. So if you are in a multi-user environment, you can, one of your individuals can send a BEX file to somebody else that's actually doing the invoicing, or through Daylight, our other multi-user groupware product, they can highlight their activities and send you BEX files. And then whoever's sending the invoices can put them together and send them on.
Now, is this, do you think, geared towards someone selling product, or more of someone that's actually billing time, more of a professional that's doing an attorney or
a consultant? It's definitely for a professional. I mean, we have line items such as expenses and quantity. So somebody that is selling time and materials could also use it. Somebody that is just selling time could do it. If you're sending just products, if you have a small set of products, definitely you could use it. But if for larger sets of products, like a big store or something, it probably is not the right solution.
Right. Now, so this really is targeted towards the small, like graphic, I mean, many people on the Macintosh that listen to our program are like small graphic designers or video people or professionals. And this is like a perfect product for that because they could quickly organize their invoices and send them out.
Exactly. And we have reports, for example, how much you've earned, how many taxes you've collected. One other thing that we have that's unique in our application is the way we do taxes. In this realm of application, we do taxes by a thing called tax code. So if you have like three or four taxes, all of that can be properly done and tabulated, and you can get a report for whatever period of time you choose. And so, I've collected this many taxes. You send that to your accountant, that's taken care of. You don't have to go through and try and figure it out after the fact and all that. Dealing with taxes is just a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah. And then that's going to be coming up on April.
Don't talk about that. No, I think this is beautiful. And if you look at your, if you go to billings2.com/tour, you can look at the previews and sort of the screenshots. And this preview, when you're looking at the preview of the invoice,
yeah,
this one for Trimark is unbelievable.
Yeah, and if you, and that's just one. We have five of those, and the editor, the design window, allows you to create as many as you want. I mean, the same kind of engine is in Daylight as well, and people are sharing reports and invoices, not invoices, estimates, in the Daylight community. And so it's the same technology here, so you'll be able to do that with Billings too. So some people can come out and design some really nice stuff, what happened was, when we started with Billings 1, we told people, okay, well, send us your invoices so that we can see what kind of invoices you're sending out. And you would not believe the really nice invoices people would create either in Quark or InDesign or Illustrator.
And so they're literally spending typing all of the stuff in manually.
That's right. You got to be a real designer to be able to use those tools. I don't know how to use those tools, but those invoices look great. And so that was our inspiration that, we wanted to be able to do that kind of stuff. So we started building the engine, And the process of building this engine, we actually changed it four times because, you know, somebody would send in one of these invoices and go, oh, how would we do this in our engine? And
yeah.
We changed it. And so now I think we got it, that you can pretty much do anything. You can do, for example, in the background, you could put a watermark if you wanted, like with some alpha in it. You can the fonts and all that kind of stuff. We have this concept of page decoration. So every subsequent pages, you could have the proper logos and addresses in the right place. And then we also have master pages. So if you have, a multi-page kind of invoice, some professions do that. Some industries need that. You could do that too.
No, so it's a beautiful piece of software.
It's a really iterative kind of thing. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, your main layout page, your billing, the main interface is, so easy. It looks like, you have your clients on one side, sort of what's going on that's open,
mm-hmm.
and what's completed, and you just pick what you need, and you can just go click and make an invoice.
Our whole thing is we, from the very first moment you download it to your first invoice, 5 minutes.
AJ, we're coming to a break. Hold on one sec here. When we come back, I want to tell people how they can get a hold of you and Billings and all the cool stuff going on over at Market Circle. You're here with AJ, the CEO of Market Circle, and we're talking about Billings too. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Creative Professionals over at Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional and you want to learn all the tips and tricks and all the cool stuff going on in your land of creativity using InDesign, Go Live, Quark, you name it, they have all the tips and cool stuff going on over there. Check them out at creativepro.com. We're here with AJ. He's the CEO of Market Circle, and we're talking about the very cool, intuitive piece of software called Billings 2 that lets you create very stunning invoices very easily on your Macintosh for all kinds of great stuff. Now, AJ, there's a beta going on of the software.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do they get the beta? How do they get more information? How can they just go check out all the things going on with Beta 2 and Market Circle?
Well, basically go to www.billings2.com and you can download Beta 4 right now. Play with it as much as you like. And on there, we also have a link to our forums and a link to a support page. Anything you need. Also in the application, you can send us some feedback. So basically, Billings2.com is where you go get it.
What's it going to cost when it ships?
$59.
That's a good deal.
Okay, I'm buying it. I'm done.
It's
I'm sold.
Cheap. It's cheap. For what it does, it's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you ever sat there and tried to make a little invoice in a Word document, oh, yeah, it hurts.
And how many times you got to do it? I'll tell you a little story. We had this one gentleman do some work for us, he's doing this great work, like a real artist, like really nice stuff. And we asked him, well, send us the invoice because, we got to pay it once a month or something. And he said, okay, I'll send it to you. He didn't send us the invoice until a year later because he just hated to do the invoices. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And so we're hoping to help that kind of person just quickly do it. You have a menu bar timer, you can time it and get out an invoice that looks great, with your professional image out there to the client, get your money sooner.
Very cool stuff. AJ, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
There you go. Check them out over at billings2.com. Right now, we have with us,
live.
Or we will hear in a moment,
Just a second, he's grabbing his coffee.
Yeah, we don't have any headphones for him.
The very world famous.
Jeff Bodine.
The famous Jeff Bodine.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, you made it into the bunker.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any headphones, but he doesn't hear anything.
He doesn't
hear anything. He can hear us talking.
That's all that counts.
Yeah. Jeff, how you doing?
Wonderful, how are you?
Both. Oh, yeah, Jeff, how you doing there, Jeff?
You guys are looking good.
Yeah, hey, thanks.
You look like you're all ready for
me. You're lying good, too.
Never.
Talking about Macworld, and, Jeff, you're the CEO of Micromat.
Yes.
And you guys have something new coming here at Macworld.
Tech Tool Pro to Go.
Whoa.
Oh.
To go. So tell us about this.
And this is like an encore to maybe like the Protégé?
Exactly. The Protégé device, we just won an Eddie on, which
yeah, you did.
Our first Eddie Award.
That's cool. Nice,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And
got a nice statue now for the office.
I don't have it yet, but I.
You guys should get it at Macworld.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I ordered a couple extra, hopefully.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get us some extras. So, anyways, the Protégé is a portable device which is a little flash drive, and it has all our diagnostic tools on it, a system, and you can essentially boot a dead Mac with this thing, run the diagnostics, do your thing, throw it in your pocket, and it's great, especially for system administrators who need to walk around and work on a lot of Macs. So instead of carrying a hard drive with them or a bunch of disks, they got this little pocket-sized tool. So what we thought was, what if we could make this happen on an old iPod? So you've got an old iPod mini, let's say, with FireWire capability.
Right.
And what we created was essentially a configuration tool that will take something like an old iPod or, you know, a small pocket drive, and we'll do the same thing as Protégé does, install a system, install all our utilities. You can configure different profiles, so if you want to install other utilities as well, you can put those on there. And it's, you know, ships on a disk. So instead of us shipping hardware, somebody can take their old iPod and turn it into a portable toolbox.
Or I guess any FireWire-based little pocket drive.
There isn't anything, too really. Many FireWire-based. I mean, where would you even find a Fire? I mean, that's why when you guys went and did the Protégé, it must have been really pretty tough to find a FireWire-based thumb drive.
Yeah, there was only one company that makes those, and we got those. But the key about the FireWire thing is FireWire is only mandatory on every pre-Intel machine.
Right.
The new machines will boot off USB.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
can
cool.
boot off a regular thumb drive. So, in fact, you could take this Protégé software, go buy a, an Intel, or I should say.
Yeah, we're here with Jeff Bodine. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
When it comes to product development and the strategic direction of your business, not everyone can offer you a crystal ball. At the Industry Measure, formerly Trendwatch Graphic Arts, we're not clairvoyant, but soon it may seem that way to you. With extensive market surveys in the field at least 6 times a year, the Industry Measure delivers you reliable, projectable market data that makes growing your business seem magical. Digital printing, variable data printing, employee retention, overseas outsourcing, new media, investment projections in the creative, printing, internet, and publishing markets. The Industry Measure reports the variables that ensure your business never becomes a vanishing act. We measure the information you need in a wide variety of market reports, atlases, special and mini reports, on time and on budget. Hocus pocus? No, just focus. Visit theindustrymeasure.com, your industry data resource. The Industry Measure.
Informal,
informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program. These guys are true ink on paper offset web printers, so it's not a bunch of digital garbage spitting out the back of a Xerox. This is true knuckle dragging ink on paper, man rolling, finger crushing paper printing monster.
Yeah, printing from a $4 million press.
That's right. Pretty cool stuff. So you can check them out at printingforless.com. We're here with Jeff Bodine, the CEO of Micromat. He's talking about a brand new product that's going to be available at Macworld.
Yes. In fact, Brad brought up a good point. Where do you get one of these FireWire iPods? You know, as far as I know, there's probably millions of these things sitting in people's drawers who have upgraded from, say, an iPod mini or one of the first, second generation iPods to one of the new ones.
I got a third gen that's just sitting there.
Yeah. And, you know, you could turn this into a portable diagnostic device that you can use to fix Macs and recover data. And it's, you know, actually better than our Protégé product, because the Protégé, we pack that thing. There's hardly anything left on there to recover data to. I mean, you've got enough space to run the utilities and everything, but if you need to actually recover data to another drive, that's exactly what you got to do, is use another drive.
Right.
The iPod, you know, if you got a 40 gigabyte iPod, there's plenty of room on there to recover valuable data.
There's suddenly going to be like, when this product ships out, they're going to be like, you know, iPods on eBay selling for like, you know, thousands.
Well, you know, when we started working on this, I said, hey, we got to get a couple of minis because this is the ideal platform for this product. And we went online and we got a couple of iPod minis really cheap because, you know, they're not really too popular anymore as an iPod.
Yeah.
Well, I know that I have to look now, but as of a few weeks ago, Apple still had them in the store under refurbished iPods.
Really?
I'll check right now while we're chatting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they still had them. You can buy the old version of the mini.
Yeah.
they need to give us a commission or something, because we're going to help them sell a whole bunch of those, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was a bit bummed that they stopped supporting FireWire, because to me, FireWire is so much more logical. But then the whole industry is moving to USB, and then it's like, you know, what can you do?
It was kind of strange how they dropped that. It seemed to be about the same time that they started to offer the Wintel version of iTunes, and they wanted to cross over to the PC side with the iPod.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the FireWire was just holding them back. So
I imagine even if, you know, the cost of putting dual interfaces onto the iPod would have been just too expensive.
Too prohibitive. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Impossible to do.
But yeah, that's our big product for the show, and I think it's going to do well.
Have you been, has the Protégé been flying off the shelf?
We can't keep them. We can't keep them, literally. I mean, they're gone before they get there. It's if you go on our website and go to the order page for this thing, the shopping cart we use has an inventory count. And I can just sit there and hit refresh and see these things disappear. It's great. It's great. It's wonderful. But the people who supply us with the hardware, it's a small company, and you know, it takes them a while to get these to us. So we'll have a whole bunch. They go. Then we're out of them for a month or two. Then we have more. They go. It's feast and famine.
Wow. But I mean, hey, you know, I mean, as you know, that's a good problem to have, really.
It's a great problem to have, but you know, it's a little embarrassing at times, because people think you know, we just can't produce enough.
Yeah,
and it's out of your control because you're not making the hardware.
Exactly. So that's where Protégé is really nice. Is, you know, it's a software based product. It's up to the customer to come up with the hardware, and you know.
And I guess to go over it again, it works with any FireWire based drive, so it'll work with a Mac Mini, but it'll also work with just a regular pocket FireWire drive.
It'll
right?
basically work with any drive,
but it'll also work, of course, with the USB drive.
Yes, it'll work with a USB drive.
If you have an Intel based Mac, if you're still using a G5 or a PowerPC G4,
So if you've really got a USB drive, you can't boot anything except for the new Intel Mac. So as a system administrator, FireWire drive is the perfect thing
but
for
it's, but it's not prohibitive to the people that have just come new to the Mac platform. They're still able to go get
that's right.
USB.
Right. And then in that case, they can go get a USB thumb drive and, you know.
That's what's the biggest thumb drive you've seen now that are USB? They got them, 4 gig or even bigger?
I got a 4 gig in my pocket. It's pretty nice. It's who makes this one? This one's made by Cruiser SanDisk.
Wow.
Wonderful.
4 gig.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's wonderful.
So Jeff's going to be with us for the rest of the show here, just chatting. Next up, we got the guys from Frontline.
Oh, yeah.
The editor from Frontline.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about some of their very cool, in-depth, documentary-type journalism reporting. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit agfa.com for more info.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to Inside Mac Radio. We're here with Jeff Bodine's with us, the CEO of Micromount. We have Brad Wright and myself, Scott Shepard. And Brad, we have a very cool guest.
Yes, we have a very cool guest, because this is a show that I've watched, and it just gives me the chills. It's probably the scariest show on television, talking about PBS Frontline, and we have the editor for PBS Frontline, at least most of the documentaries, Steve Audet. Steve, how you doing?
It's very good. Nice to be with you guys.
Yeah.
It's a great show, but you're right. It's probably one of the scariest shows on television.
It is. It's the most frightening show on television.
Because you guys aren't scared, you lay it down.
It's all downers all the time, basically.
Well, the depth of which Frontline goes into a particular subject is just unprecedented, I think, for television or really anything. I mean, yeah. I can think of.
We're lucky. We have the ability to spend some time. You know, we're usually in the edit bay between 6 and 10 weeks putting the show together. But you know, some shows can take a year in research before it even hits the first videotape. So.
Wow. Give us a little workflow, Steve. Since you're the editor here, what are you using for gear? How do you ingest what's sent to you? How are things sent to you actually when you guys get content? And then what do you have to do to get this into your editing system? And what are you using? All this kind of cool stuff.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm the senior editor, so I'm one of a few that do, you know, approximately 20-some front lines a year. I do two or three of them and fix the ones that don't meet the sort of standard, frontline standard of, you know, excellence.
So cleaning up for the guys that mess up.
Yeah, well, or just, you know, bringing it that much further along. A lot of guys, you get in trouble when you're editing. When you're buried in the media, you don't always know where the story is, and sometimes a fresh pair of eyes. But I would say all frontline programs are cut on Macs, usually using Avid technology products like the Media Composer, DV Express, stuff like that. But, Final Cut is definitely some products we use. But I don't know a single editor who works for Frontline who doesn't use a Mac. So it's pretty amazing when you think about all the technologies that are out there. Still, the Mac holds on to that little niche of the work.
Yeah, how's your ingest? What do you guys, people that are out in the field, what kind of content are you actually getting there? Are you getting everything in every different format known to man, and how do you ingest all this stuff?
It's definitely coming in every which way but loose. Generally speaking, people will shoot interviews or B-roll, what they call B-roll, which is sort of scenes on some kind of tape format. Usually that's sort of changing now. It used to be a tape format, analog tape format. Now it's moving into a digital and a high-def digital format. You know, we got everything from HDV to digital beta to HD cam to the Vericams.
To DVD.
and DVDs. In fact, on a project I was editing for about the Katrina film, The Storm, we had to pull some footage off of a home video that someone had put on a DVD. And thanks to some very ingenious
person
engineers. But we were able to pull that stuff off and get it in, you know, actual, real material. I mean, I think that's the important thing about Frontline is it's not, it's reality-based, but it's reality-based with in a content that is pertinent and informative and true. You know, you can kind of lean on it and say, wow, these guys have high standards. And we were very fortunate to be able to get that.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff?
I was going to say one of the things I really like about Frontline is the fact that it doesn't seem so rushed as most documentaries. You actually spend time on a topic or with, you know, one of the speakers. And watching another documentary on another channel, it seems like you're watching MTV. It's just boom, 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 boom. Whereas you guys actually take the time to speak to the people you're interviewing, and it's
a great
show.
Kind of adhere to the Fred Friendly Murrow sort of tendency to really go in depth on a story. We're lucky because we're on PBS. You know, we don't have...
You're not on Fox News.
We don't have the commercial engine driving us. So we don't go to a commercial break every 15 minutes, you know. We actually have 55 minutes we can put together a story. So it's really a luxury. As far as I'm concerned, we're the last sort of bastion of that long format public affairs documentary series.
Yeah, it is amazing stuff. I mean, and plus the whole way the thing's laid out and the way the stuff's announced with your announcer and the whole way the package is
put together. That guy, every time I hear that guy's voice, I get chills. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to be scared about? What can I not be able to sleep at night about?
It's just literally... His name is Will Lyman, and he's not only the voice of Frontline, but sometimes we call him the voice of God around the
table. just...
You know, another product that we use a lot is After Effects, because we do all these sort of pushes and zooms, what we call in the business rostrum work, which is sort of, you have photographs, because a lot of the documentaries we do don't have, happened in the past, or there's a paper trail involved, or there's some photographs of the individuals, but maybe they're not alive anymore. So we're able to use that media, but using After Effects, we can do pushes, zooms, pans, you know, that kind of stuff, to really make the story come alive.
Right, because, you know, you can do a lot with a still photograph and sort of pan around an image and zoom it in, and if it has high enough resolution, you can do some cool stuff in After Effects.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, in one of the shows we did about another Katrina, Katrina Lee Young,
was a nicer Katrina than the hurricane.
We did a situation where we would pull people off. We would pull the individuals who we were trying to help focus, because the photographs had other people in them, and we wanted to make sure the audience knew who we were talking about, so we pulled them away from their background a little bit, which is pushing the envelope a little bit on the style of Frontline, because you don't want to, like, make it too, pyrotechnic. You want the story to hold the line, but we found that was invaluable, too.
I've seen that effect, and it's almost haunting.
Yeah, it really is. It's like it's like forced 3D perspective, basically. It's really... But, you know.
Ken Burns on steroids, basically.
Yeah, right. Speaking of that, you know, I just want to say, I think in Final Cut, that's what they call it, the Ken Burns effect. And I think I'd just like to say that at Frontline, we were doing it way before
Ken Burns. He stole it from you. It's the Frontline effect.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
You guys got ripped off.
Got ripped off. That's it's right.
All same family.
Yeah.
So anyway. where are you guys based out of? Where's all the stuff done for Frontline?
Well, it's all over the world. We have producers in London, some in other parts of Europe, and currently tons in, you can imagine, we have a few in Iraq and that part of the world. But there's a Frontline West out at Berkeley, a major sort of hub for younger documentarians. They have a program called Frontline World, which kind of focuses on young talent, trying to bring them up through the ranks, kind of give them a place to put stuff. And Frontline World also has a Rough Cuts on the web. This can all be found on the web at www.pbs.org/frontline or Frontline World. But there's also New York based. But the executive producers and the senior staff and myself are all located in Boston, Massachusetts.
So you guys come in. So basically, it's sort of there's people working all around the world on this, but it all comes into one centralized hub, and then you guys fix the stories and make sure that the narrative is correct and up to
high. So you guys are a WGBH?
Yes, that's correct. WGBH. Okay.
Now, one of the questions I've just been dying to ask you is that in doing these stories, have you ever had pushback from the government, from organizations, you know, calls from lawyers? I mean, you guys must, I mean, it must be difficult to do some of these stories because of the pressure externally.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I mean, sometimes the hardest, I mean, the pressure comes in all different formats, too. I mean, sometimes the pressure is that you can't get someone to talk to you on camera, and they're critical parts of the story because of some pressure they're feeling. Sometimes the pressure comes in lawyers, and you have to have your research really tightly knotted up and I's dotted and T's crossed to make sure you can withstand that kind of pressure. And, you know, sometimes it's the government. Like, for example, we did a program called American Pornography, on American Pornography, called American Porn. And it kind of showed how the porn industry is growing in America and what that means for our society. And the government won't let us air that program again, even though in that program they were able to pull an indictment on somebody. So it's, you know, all kinds of censorship and pressure. It's tough. You know, we try to fight the good fight. We did a documentary on rap music, and it was really tough to get all the stations at PBS to say, yes, we're behind you, Frontline. We need to air this music. We need to air the unedited music, you know.
Oh, wow.
And it was pretty
tough. Because there's some explicit language there in a lot of this.
Exactly. That program can't air anymore. I mean, basically, ever since a certain Super Bowl and certain malfunctions. and Frontline's actually fighting with the FCC on this stuff. We're actually thinking of doing a documentary called The F Word about the FCC.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. That's good.
Well, I mean, really, I think someone should, because those guys are just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You look at all the stuff really that goes on broadcast in Europe and other parts of the world, and it's no big deal, and here in America, it's just so clamped
down.
It's
just Puritarian. Right. Yeah, Puritan.
I'm very sympathetic to that, but, you know, I happen to have been there with my small children and my in-laws when the malfunction happened, and it was really quite a shocking moment in our family for that point. So I can see both sides, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing about Frontline is I look at the letters we get. Like when we did the, we usually do a biography about who's running for the presidential office every 4 years, and I like to look at the letters. And if I feel like I'm getting letters from the right saying, you know, this is a left-wing propaganda, and from the left saying, look, there goes PBS following the way of the Republicans, I know that I've done the right thing. You know, we're sort of right. We want to make sure that both sides feel like we're hitting the mark, you know?
Hey, Steve, we're coming to a break. Hold on 1 second. When we come back, I want everybody to give get your information on how they can check out all the cool things that are going on over at Frontline, okay?
Okay, sure. Absolutely. Thank you.
Cool stuff. You are listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and our guest in-studio co-host, Jeff Bodine. Check it out, micromat.com. We'll be right back.
Are you a real estate agent? Then listen up. I've got something for you, newhomepodcast.com. It's an exciting new way to reach an audience of home buyers that really understand technology and are fascinated with the new podcasts that are springing up everywhere. Now imagine having a dedicated, rabid audience that is in the market to buy or sell a home and wants every edge in getting the latest information. Maybe they're relocating to your area, maybe they're upgrading or downsizing, maybe they're first-time home buyers that are brand new to the process. Well, you can be their guide. and do so with professionally produced, up-to-the-minute podcasts that are delivered automatically to their computers and iPods, and that means sales for you. We make it simple. We do all the online setup, all the production, all the delivery of the podcast. All you have to do when you want to do an episode is make a phone call. Now, we do this on a zip code exclusive basis, and zip codes are going fast. So go to the website to see if your area is still available. It's newhomepodcast.com. That's newhomepodcast.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Jeff Bodine, and Brad Wright, and we're talking to our buddies over at Frontline.
Yeah. Steve, so tell us, you know, I mean, I know what's great about Frontline is that all of these episodes, like some of these really great older episodes, you have available on DVD, so you can actually purchase these off the PBS website.
I can actually say we have even gobs more on the web. If you go to www.pbs.org/frontline, there's a watch it online, it's a whole section, and all my films are there, and there's a bunch more as well. And we're very web-centric. We feel like the broadcast is just the initial sort of foray of the discussion, and the website lives on, and so we keep a lot of our research, a lot of the transcripts, a lot of the data is there on the website.
Have you ever considered offering this through iTunes?
I think that there are rights issues with offering it through iTunes. We have enough rights issues trying to even get it on the web.
Yeah.
It's all, really? As soon as you engage cash involved into the sentence, things get a little tricky.
Yeah, true. Steve, how do we find out more information about what you guys are up to, Frontline, all the stuff on the web, everything that's going on?
Yeah, I would go right to the website, pbs.org/frontline.
Wow, that's very cool stuff. Steve, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
All right, great.
Hope you have a great new year, and we want to have you guys back on soon talking about more stuff you guys are doing over there. It's very cool work.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Scary stuff, too.
Yeah, but they do good work, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a program like that can scare you. You know, I mean,
you need to get someone to slap you upside the head. Wake up, idiot.
This is what's really going on.
Stop smoking crack.
Yeah, this is what's really going on in the subject. It's scary.
Yeah, but it's good. And they do it on a Mac, so that's all that matters.
And that part's not scary. That part isn't scary. Right. I mean, it's really great because, I mean, actually they do what's neat about it is that I guess if you wanted to get involved with Frontline, if you were a small producer, you probably could.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a neat thing about it is that it's like, you know, if you have a really good story, you may be able to maybe we'll have them back on the show and see how we could get, you know, sort of this sort of individual style type of journalism going where people could create a story that they could shoot and that could actually become a story on Frontline.
Yeah, maybe we'll consider my documentary on groundhogs.
There you go.
Documentary groundhogs.
Jeff, how do we get more information on Micromat, the brand new product that's going to be released at Macworld? I'm sure that's not on the web. That's going to come out live.
You should be able to find something right away on that, and that's at www.micromat.com. We'll be shipping them at Macworld.
That's cool.
So anybody who comes there can probably get a show special on that.
Yeah. Good stuff. That'll be cool. Box product in hand. And I'd like to thank the other guests we had. We had Philip Hodges doing the digital production buzz, Andy Shallett with his graphic design tip. Of course, Jeff Bodine here, the CEO of Micromat, talking about their very cool new product and all their other great products. And they won an Eddie Award, so you can check that out over at Macworld.com. We had AJ, the CEO of Market Circle, talking about Billings 2, a very pretty cool, unique, and actually very economically priced piece of software for doing billing on your Mac to create cool invoices. Really nice looking stuff. And then Steven, how do you say Steve's last
Steve
name?
Ade.
Ade. Mm-hmm. There you go. Steve Ade, the senior editor over at Frontline, WGBH Boston.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. You can check that out at pbs.org/frontline. So, you know, next show here is going to be right before Macworld. You know?
Yeah.
The next Inside show. Mac is going to be
And we're not going to talk about any rumors.
No, we don't talk about rumors here. But there's going to be some cool stuff on the Steve note. You gonna go to the Steve note?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'll be sitting there.
They actually invited me this year.
Get your VIP badge.
They actually invited you.
Yes.
Get your VIP badge.
A VIP. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't been invited yet.
So you and I are going to be hitting those free donuts.
We haven't been invited.
They don't invite us till a few days before.
Yeah. Well, then they call us like the last one. Why haven't you responded? Why haven't you responded?
Yeah. We're gonna talk to them.
Yeah.
We'll be there shooting the thing live for Inside Mac TV.
That's
in high def.
In high def.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty cool stuff. So you can check out more of what's going on over at Inside Mac Radio, of course, at InsideMacRadio.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Micromat, DVD, XDV, FirmTech, MCE Technologies, and our media partners. Check it out, www.InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be back next week with more great things about your Mac.